The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, numbers game, VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. We really do. It's all brought to you, by BetMGM, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Kelly, pro tip of the hour last hour. We didn't do a pro tip. Want to do a pro tip?
Got a lot of soccer to talk about, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Senegal with a PK late in the first half to sink my first half draw anyway. And Senegal needs the win. They're in the U.S. position. Same position. They need the win. Up 1-0 over Ecuador. Absolutely a penalty kick was deserved on the call, too. But the pro tip, look at the Steelers to bet on going forward. Kenny Pickett getting experience, team getting healthier. The main point, the schedule is lightening up. That's the big point. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only, though, at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Because that really was the big thing from yesterday. It's one thing to knock the Colts, and deservedly so, for a listless performance for three of those four quarters last night. But maybe the under-the-radar thing is the Steelers deserve a little more of a look here as Mike Tomlin tries to get to 500 or better, which yeah. I'm not sure if you're aware of the stat about Mike Tomlin, that he's never – you don't know about that?
Yeah, about, I don't know, something like he's never finished a season.
Yeah, something like that.
500, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, the one other thing about the game last night before we go? The clock management at the end for the Colts we didn't mention earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't use their first – they had a full allotment of their timeouts on that final drive. The would-be game-tying final drive, trying to get it to 24-24. Who knows? Maybe they would have gone for two the way that this weekend has gone in the NFL. That would have been funny to see if Pro Football Blitz and Betts Giving would have lost on that with a tie imminent and overtime imminent if they had lost on their decision to go for two. But anyway, they had all three timeouts. They didn't use the first one until 30 seconds was left in the game. And so from the perspective of, well, would they have gotten a chance to use them all? Yeah, they probably would have still. But not using the first one and letting the clock move sort of rushed them. So the second down play, Matt Ryan dove too early before he got to the sticks. He was kind of waving it off after the game. He was like, whatever, you know, I didn't know where that. You should know, you're a veteran quarterback. And then, so then they ran the third down play. They could have easily just used a timeout. They had the full allotment. They didn't use it. So then they ran Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
And then it was like, what are you doing? Then they finally used one before the fourth down play, which had no shot whatsoever.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a little odd. Them talking about it after the game, it's like, I know it's hard to say you screwed up, but it's just like everybody kind of dances around like, oh, we had a plan. It just didn't work.
Yeah, no, they screwed it up. Screwed it up, man.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good at all. When was the last time you saw a team with full allotment of timeouts not use the first on a potential deciding drive till 30 seconds?
I guess I understand with where you were going, you could have possibly used them later in the drive, right?
But that part's fine.
That part's fine, but yeah. It's what you said before. If you're rushing on a third down
for no reason,
there's just no reason to do that.
Oh, we wanted to catch them off guard with the run or something like that? I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the segment that's sweeping the nation. Kelly Bidlin guesses college football lines.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Conference championship game week. Still learning about teams.
Still learning about teams. For those of you just landing on the segment for the first time, Kelly, oh, man, does he know basketball. Oh, man, does he know golf and football and all kinds of sports. You know what he doesn't know? I'm talking about NFL. You know what he doesn't know? College football so well. So we thought it'd be funny if Kelly tried to guess college football lines. And he's been way off on some of these, like 14 points on some of these.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe you just recognize value in what you do.
Hey, man, I got a system at this point for it. I got a system.
Sure you do.
I got a system. These bookmakers out here, I might be for hire.
You ready to do this one? Do the SEC championship first?
Let's go.
LSU and Georgia.
All right, LSU, Georgia. Georgia, I'm laying 20. I'm saying Georgia minus 20 for this one. Georgia with the second highest margin of victory this year at 26.9 points per game, Gil. You know who number one is?
No, who?
Michigan.
Yes, Michigan. Of course, after last week. Sure.
Like that. Okay, LSU lost to A&M last week. Basically takes them out of that college football playoff race. I think you got to factor that in a little bit. Let's see. Only beat Arkansas by 3 a couple weeks ago. They're kind of flat down the stretch here. So I'm going to go Georgia minus 20 for the SEC championship game.
Not bad. A little high, but not bad. Georgia minus 17 and a hook.
Okay,
that's not so bad. It's almost dead on. By the way, LSU trying to become the first team ever to win the SEC championship and miss the playoffs. How about that? All right, ACC. Yeah, wow. This game is just an exhibition at this point, too. Clemson and North Carolina a couple weeks ago were like, oh, winner of this game could be in the mix. Nope.
So we basically did a rehearsal guessing lines yesterday because we had to figure out which games were usable, right? Because we talked a little bit on the other show, college football. I do on the other show.
I did not
do
attend
later in the afternoon.
I did not attend.
So I had Wyatt test me basically on which ones. Yeah. We got to the ACC championship game. I'm like, I don't even know who's in it. I'm like, I couldn't even, much less a line. I'm like, Clemson lost. UNC's been losing. I don't even know who's in it. But it is Clemson, North Carolina, regardless. So my first thought was, Florida State, if you just beat Clemson earlier in the year, you're in this game, man. What are you doing? All right. And how overrated was DJ Uiagalelei heading into his career?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. We talked about him like he was the next greatest thing ever. I got Clemson laying 7 in this game. Both these teams stumbling down the stretch. Like you said, Gil, this is just an exhibition game at this point. Get a little money for your school to win for winning an ACC championship. So, Clemson minus 7. I think this one's kind of tough, though.
Clemson minus 7 is Kelly's guess. Clemson minus 7.5 is the actual line. Look at you.
There we go.
Oh, how far you've come.
There we go.
Whew. All right. Still a couple more of these. Mountain West, Fresno State, Boise State.
Mountain West, as usual on the show, right? Mountain West championship game. I have no idea. Boise State laying 10. Boise won the first matchup 40-20 between these two teams. But that was during their 1-3 start to the season. Let's see. Fresno State looking like a Shrubber team with recent play based off of box scores, because it's all I'm looking at. I don't know. Boise State laying 10 is what I've got against Fresno State that appears to be a better team as of late. I have no idea, though.
Boise State by 10. It's actually Boise State by 3.5.
Okay.
Big doings up there.
Value on Boise.
Big doings up there, though. Boise, new quarterback. Very, very exciting future. By the way, did you catch this? We were sending this around on Saturday. Did you catch the Boise State, Utah State bad beat of the year?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, not at all. I think I saw a text from you and Jeff.
So what was that? I want to get the details right. So Boise State was like a 17-point favorite, something like that. 17-point favorite. Utah State, though, is driving for the go-ahead touchdown with 1:33 left in the game. They're down 5. Pick. And you're like, oh, wow, they're not going to win the game. But clearly they're gonna cover. There's like 1.5 minutes left. It's deep in Boise State territory. They got to get to 17.5. They're only up 5. To the house and then a pick 6. All of that in the last 90 seconds. That's the worst beat.
That is brutal. Was it you who sending me the screenshots of the play-by-play?
That was me.
Okay, yeah. I was like, someone.
I was like, did you see this?
I got asked by like 3 people, and I'm like, no, I didn't see it. Like, that's the whole point of this segment. I don't really watch college football.
I'm sorry.
I'm watching NBA or something. All right. But it was funny because how many people texted me that? And then I remember you sent me like 3 screenshots of play-by-play, and I'm like, this looks so bad, I can't even follow it. Like, I don't even really know what's going on in this play-by-play.
Brutality. All right, one more there, Phil Steele. UCF and Tulane.
The AAC Conference Championship game, I believe, right? This is Conference USA? No. AAC. UCF versus Tulane. This one was maybe the toughest game of the year for college guessing lines, Gil.
Boy, was it?
I thought so. I don't know these teams at all, man. Uh-huh. UCF won the first matchup 38-31 just a few weeks ago. This has got to be tight either way. From my detailed research, this has got to be a tight spread. I really don't know. I put UCF minus 2.5 is what I went with here. It's got to be tight either way, though.
This is Tulane's year, man. Sean King is going to call you and just hate on you. Right? Tulane minus 3, dude.
I don't feel that bad about that. I'm on 5.5 points, but I didn't really know who the favorite would be. I thought it would be tight.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidman. Looking forward to bowl season, Kelly.
Oh, man. Yeah. If I thought UCF Tulane was hard, bowl season is going to be impossible.
We don't have a close for that segment. We just move on. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All right. Well, by the way, let's do this market in the NFL. This is kind of cool. This is most wins to complete the NFL season. Is this it?
This is one of those we probably looked at 6 times during the summer. You know, we got a lot of time to kill.
Most wins, when all is said and done in the regular season of the National Football League, the Eagles, who are 10-1, because they have the best record. They're the favorite right now, minus 135. Then you have the two 9-2 teams, the Chiefs and the Vikings. Chiefs are 2-1. The Vikings are 6-1 to have the most wins when all is said and done. And then it's sort of the double-digit mishmash led by the Bills and the Cowboys, 11-1 and 14-1 respectively. Everybody else, 50-1 or greater, including or longer, including the 8-3 Dolphins.
Yeah.
Who are 65-1. What do you like here?
I kind of went down a rabbit hole on this last night because I was kind of scanning through DraftKings in their menu, and this is when they got posted up there. Do you feel like the Eagles should be minus money in this?
I don't. I feel like they're shaky.
Yeah, with their play of reason. And I mean, you only got one. You're one win up.
The first thing you have to ask yourself in this market, though, in either conference, is there a team that's going to be so clear of the field that they can just chill? And the answer is no, right, at this point. Both conferences should be tightly contested for the number one seed. So there's you don't have to factor that into your calculus, really?
Right. And again, this is most wins, not like the number one seed in each conference.
No, but I'm saying the most wins would get you to the number one seed. So they don't have to stop winning, in other words, because they'll have the number one seed secure. Right. So they just got to keep on going basically to the end at this point as we see it. Eagles feels kind of shaky, but what would you then take? Chiefs?
Let's just look. The schedule stuff, we brought this up a couple times. Eagles still have the Titans, then you got games against the Cowboys and two against the Giants, I believe, left. Kansas City has the easiest remaining schedule in the league.
Or maybe we'll come back to this again. We'll come back to it. We'll do NFL power rankings later. We'll come back to it. Chiefs' easiest remaining schedule in the league. 371 aggregate win percentage of all their opponents. Coming back with Pete Futek. Uh-oh, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Cyber Monday deal has been extended. Sign up today to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you'll get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. The VSiN store is a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, though. It's an extended Cyber Monday offer, and it won't last long. So sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate it. Chris Heath. Does Chris Felica always call in on a flip phone, or is that just for your show, Gil? It's really just for my show.
Yeah.
It's early. Doesn't want to be on camera. We got to work on that. Let's see. This is from Chris of St. Bart's. Oh, hey, Gil, when will tennis get going again? Love following your plays. Thank you. It's really that time of year where there is nothing. There's a 125 on the women's side, but I'm not betting it.
What is that? January?
January.
When tournaments start kicking up in Australia. Australian Open, right?
Yeah. This is Tim Kafer. Calling Kelly Phil Steele will never get old. Thanks for the much-needed laugh this morning. You guys are the best.
That was from the first edition of it.
That was from the first edition.
All right, Phil Steele. We only had 30 minutes.
Because you were given a dissertation that day. Kenny G, morning, Gil and Kelly. A week or so ago, you were talking about past producers. I remember when, Gil, you would have Jason Kahn, producer number 7, by the way, for Scoring at Home, read the promotion for Manscaped. I felt like his head was going to explode. Now, fast forward to Kelly doing the same promo, I would be dying.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Jason Kahn through the Manscaped, it was the most awkward thing in the world because he would, stop and look at me. And I'd be like, why are you looking at me?
Don't look me in the eye.
Don't look me in the eye. What are you doing? Stop it. Stop making eye contact.
I appreciate that. I don't think anybody has ever done Manscaped reads better than Matt Brown, actually, because he kept buying the product.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it was buying the product and then would bring it on air with him.
Now, Jason would have the wrong inflection. He'd be like, Manscaped? I'd be like, there's no question mark, Jason. Here's one. This is from last one. Alan Mitchell. Is Duggan toast? This is a perfect segue for Pete Futek.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. I have the 100-1 ticket on Duggan to win the Heisman. Before Saturday, and actually during the TCU game, the comment is people were asking, and I'm like, well, here's the deal. It's Caleb Williams to lose. It is now officially Max Duggan's to steal. But then Caleb Williams went out and just balled.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think it's toast. I mean, I'll bring in Pete Futek, ladies and gentlemen, from College Football News, the great Pete Futek, czar of College Football News. I guess the only scenario, let me just ask you this. If Williams came out Friday night and just had the worst game of his life against Utah, and then Duggan put up cartoon stats in the Big 12 championship against Kansas State, maybe, but I'm stretching, aren't I?
Well, here's the thing about this in a couple different ways. You're not stretching. I mean, if not Duggan, who else?
Nobody.
Because if in Stroud, I mean, actually, it should be Stroud. Stroud doesn't play defense. So
that's
it wasn't
true.
His fault.
That's true.
I mean, he wasn't perfect against Michigan, but that game was certainly not on him. But
if you're undefeated, that matters.
Yeah. So exactly. So if it's over, it's Caleb Williams's, unless, like you said, he gets rocked by this Utah defense and he throws four picks and he has a horrible game, and Duggan just balls out and goes crazy against Kansas State. My more realistic scenario is, what happens if Kansas State wins and Caleb Williams is just meh? Like, does he still win the Heisman? I guess, and no one's really happy about it. But no, I mean, the problem with Duggan is going to be a lack of name recognition. I don't think on a national scale people watched TCU.
Yeah, but these are college football people with votes. Should that matter?
You'd think, but there's two problems with that this year. One, you'd think that, but the people who vote really don't watch all of college. It's like the committee. You can only watch like one. If you're covering a team, you're all on that team and you're working in the business. You're working on that team and you kind of know what else is going on. The second part is it's harder to get into. They changed it up this year. It's harder to get into the system to vote for the Heisman than it is to find like the nuclear codes. You have to like go through like five different steps of authentication now to get the special key that gets you in with this code. I figured it out, but it took me literally a half an hour. There's no way some of these dudes who, I should say, I'm not going to say girls too, and mostly the old dudes I know, no chance that they're going to get this figured out.
We bring this up, Kelly, because Pete has a Heisman vote.
Well, and Pete, once you're in, you kind of have one for a long time, if not forever, right?
Pretty much, you have to be unless you come out and just flat out say who your thing is, you can get kicked out and you'll be punished by death or worse if you tell them before it's state. So you have to sign off on that. But yeah, you're pretty much in because they want you in. They want voters in, and not everyone votes. And this year again, like, good luck trying to figure out the system to get in, because right, anyone who does it at last minute, forget it.
So Pete, I want you to blink twice. I know you don't have to say anything because I know you're not allowed to, but I want you to blink twice. If Williams has a terrible game, Caleb Williams for USC, and Duggan has a spectacular game, will your vote go to Max Duggan? Just blink twice.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
No.
Really, truly, like I make it my yearly thing where I truly let the Saturday play. But here's the problem. You got to be playing on Saturday or Friday. You have to be playing this weekend now. And so this whole argument, like, well, and I hear this from every other sports writer. It's like, well, let's see what happens in these conference championship games. I'm like, okay, so why can't we wait and do this till after the bowl games when we know actually the whole season and who really was the main person? Mm-hmm. Kind of like the NFL MVP. Why don't we do this after the playoffs? Oh, no, this is a regular season award. Well, regular season's kind of over. Now it's the conference. It's the dumbest arguments all the way around. We should be doing this on – you know, January 12th, but
this is gonna,
I don't know.
This is going to end up as my Juan Soto 100-1 that just missed against Bryce Harper. This is going to be this one. Ole Miss didn't miss, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's the problem with the Heisman. You can't just kind of massage this. You can't like say, well, I think because it's a beauty contest. I mean, you can't say, well, I really think this team is going to do X and beat this team. You can't really, you know, think about it. It's not rational.
Pete, let's do rapid fire. And I do mean rapid fire. Okay. I'll do the same thing I did with Felica. I'll do with you. So if Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC win, they're all in. We accept that. If USC loses, if they're the only one of those four to lose, who is going to get in their stead? Ohio State or Alabama?
Oh, Ohio State. And the whole Alabama thing is nice and it's cute. And I know there's always the because it's Alabama clause in the College Football Playoff Committee's heads. But I would think Ohio State gets in. Beat Notre Dame, one loss to the number two team to Michigan. I think they get in over USC.
Is there a scenario where if either Georgia or Michigan lose their respective conference championships, Georgia to LSU, Michigan to Purdue, where they could possibly be bounced entirely from the playoff? Yes or no?
No, the only drama there would be does Georgia miss out on playing at home in the Peach Bowl?
If TCU loses, here's the big question. You know how I feel. if TCU loses, and let's say they lose by 10, because I know your answer is going to be, well, if they lose a close game or if they lose by 40, let's say they lose by 10 in the Big 12 championship to Kansas State. Let's make it sort of neutral. Will this committee, despite the fact that they would be ridiculous for doing so, in my humble opinion, but will this committee throw whoever they put number five tonight, let's say Ohio or Alabama, will they put that team leapfrogging over TCU into the playoffs?
Absolutely not with Alabama. It's not crazy with Ohio State. I don't think they would do it because 12 wins would be more than 11. The only rationale there would be that Ohio State beat Notre Dame and they beat Penn State. Two better wins. Well, think about it. But honestly, though, those are two better wins than anything. TCU's schedule is just
Stop it. They don't have a good win. Hold on. I can't help it. They did not beat a great team. They beat six teams that are 500 or better. By the way, all would be better than 500 if they hadn't played TCU, right? And it's a conference, and every one of those games, not every one, but like five of those games was a massively big game at the time where the team at the time, I get it, they weren't anymore, but at the time was a top 20 team. And what bothers me about the TCU assessment is we casually throw that element out of the assessment because at the time, no matter who they played, no matter where they played, no matter if it was a high scoring game or a low scoring game, they overcame. And for us to throw that out is meaningless. Whereas, you know, if it was Oklahoma or Texas, we would not stop talking about how awesome they are. Come on with
that. Yeah, you know, that's not really how, I know the Oklahoma Texas argument, but that's not really how they think. It's a little bit of the Cincinnati argument, where they beat a lot of okay teams, but where's the killer? Where's your Notre Dame? First, and again, the other part of this thing too, before Michigan, Ohio State beat everyone by double digits. The only team in the country to go 11 straight with 11 double digit wins. The Penn State wins better than anything TCU did. I'm arguing their side here. I'm just not saying it's going to happen, but the Penn State win is better than anything TCU did. The Notre Dame wins better than that. And theoretically, if you're one loss, I know at home to Michigan, if Michigan is the number one or two team, then technically Ohio State could be three because that's their only loss. I'm not saying they do it. I'm saying it wouldn't be crazy.
20 seconds. What's your favorite bet this weekend, sir?
This is a chalk. We have to remember the college football playoff era, all the chalk players win. I would not be shocked if Utah beats USC. I would not be shocked if Kansas State beats TCU. I think the big ones are just going to be truckings. I think Michigan just destroys Purdue and Georgia just rips through LSU.
Pete Futak, everybody. Pete, I love hate you so much.
I can't do anything about it. It's not my fault. I'm not playing out there. I'm trying to figure out this committee, too.
TCU hadn't beaten anybody. Stop it. Thank you. We cut off his mic. That was not it. At Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K. CollegeFootballNews.com is where you can find him. Our pro football rankings and more about that best winning record prop coming back. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Let's split some bets, Isaiah.
Assist to Isaiah Von Brinkel. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. The equalizer from Ecuador, which is bad news for Senegal, but perhaps good news for my full game draw here. But a lot of soccer to be played, 68th minute or 67th minute when it happened, 1-1 now in a huge round of 16 deciding game in Group A. Senegal wins, they're in. Ecuador gets the tie, they're in. And then the Netherlands just rolling along 2-0 against Qatar.
I believe that was Caicedo or maybe Caicedo with the goal. Hmm. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name.
Let me just bring up the last segment because there's a couple things I want to follow up on. One, I really do get triggered by that whole thing where it's like that point I was making at the end, this notion that TCU every week rose to the occasion in what was considered at the time a massive football game. Oh, they're not going to beat Baylor. Oh, they're not going to go into Texas and beat them. Oh, they're not going to, like, you, there's like five, they had like five of those games this year. Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding me? Senegal with the go-ahead. That was about a minute or two after Ecuador. 2-1 Senegal.
Well, that didn't last long.
Putting them back in the driver's seat and back in position to be in round six of the round of 16.
And I'm going to guess cash your over tickets.
But that really bothers me about that argument against TCU. Oh, they didn't play anybody. Stop. It's like you didn't watch college football this year then. And speaking of that, his point about the Heisman, you have something on that.
Yeah. I mean, real quick, though, it's like we're all treating TCU like they're not in a big conference.
Kills me.
Right? You know what I mean?
Iowa State's the worst team in your conference. That's a pretty good worst team.
Like, that argument, like, okay, maybe it applies to a Cincinnati, right? But it doesn't.
No.
You're in a Power 5 conference now. I think, like Felica said when he was on it, if this was Oklahoma or Texas, the name tag on the team.
Yes.
We wouldn't be talking about it. Yeah, the Heisman stuff, I was bringing that up with Pete because it's true. It's just true what some of these things that you hear about Heisman voters. These guys get in, they get in basically for life, even when they've stopped. They usually get in because they have a job where they are covering college football teams or college football in general. And I have worked with guys that have had Heisman votes for way longer than they should have because they stopped covering college football on a day-to-day basis. And, look, they took a lot of pride in their votes. I'm not going to say that they didn't, and they didn't take it seriously. But it was out east. Absolutely, there were Saturdays they were not watching Pac-12 football late at night.
Jeez.
These are things that are real. I know we bring it up and you hear stuff like that, and a lot of it you want to brush aside. But I don't even I don't even know how many voters were on this thing anymore. They seemingly keep adding guys. It was nice to hear Pete say that at least the process has gotten tougher. But like once you're in, you're basically in for life. And yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of these things you hear about Heisman voters. It's true. It's true. Fortunately,
it is unfortunate for sure. Anything else to add to the best win market, by the way? Or the Chiefs' easiest schedule, 2-1? Remember, again, also, we talked about how so neither team in the conference is clearing the field enough where they can afford to stop winning. But there are tiebreakers, right? Philly has beaten Minnesota, which informs part of their being in minus money because they already have the one-game lead in the standings and ostensibly a two-game lead over the Vikings. So a two-game lead over the conference, in other words.
Yeah.
And then, well, actually, two-game lead over the conference. That's right. Though Dallas is 9-3 and lurking. And then in the AFC, the Bills beat the Chiefs. So even though it's a one-game lead in the standings, the Bills would win the tiebreaker if they finished tied. So you got to factor all those elements in.
My biggest point of just wanting to bring this up was I don't think with their remaining schedule, the Chiefs should be this big of favorites. I don't think they should be minus money in this market.
The Eagles, you mean?
The Eagles. I'm sorry. When I say the Chiefs? Yeah. The Eagles, I mean. I mean, you're talking about a team.
I agree with that.
That we all think is stumbling a little bit here recently. I do think that last game against Green Bay, there actually was, I think them designing some runs for Jalen Hurts is what they need to get back to, although I think running him 17 times a game is not ideal either. But you're talking about left on their schedule. They still have multiple in-division games, two against the Giants. They haven't played the Giants left yet. One against the Cowboys, one against the Titans. Then you got the Saints and the Bears. But those... I don't care what division it is. We talk about NFL being Plinko all the time. Division games are tough. I don't care who you are,
right. What
year it is, how bad teams might be. And these are not bad teams that they got to play in Dallas and New York. So them being favorites in this, I just don't know. I think that Chiefs 2-1 has got some value on it.
Check the number one seed markets as well as an alternate market for this.
This one was at DraftKings. We were discussing that during a break. There are also markets up for odds to be the one seed in each conference. Compare and contrast odds. Now, the big one that would take place there is any ties in – this is just most wins. So any ties in this market – you might have to read up on rules, but I would assume either get dead heated or it's a push. Probably dead heated would apply on this most wins. Now, number one seed is going to work itself out through tiebreakers. So you got to keep in mind, like the Bills have beat the Chiefs, that the Eagles have beat the Vikings, right, if you're going to look to go down one of those roads. But Kansas City, their remaining schedule, you got the Bengals and the Seahawks. Okay, that's respectable. Texans, Broncos twice, and Raiders. I mean, that's basically four byes. And one tough game against the Bengals and, a game against the Seahawks.
I have tickets on both the Dolphins and Jets to win the AFC East, but I wonder if the Bills at 11-1 is not the best bet on that board.
It might be.
It might be, just because of the number.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
It might. I mean, and you brought up, you were a little shocked at the Dolphins' price there too.
I mean, that's way too long, right?
It's way too long. I mean, I'm not betting it.
I'm not betting it
because they got a tough road to get
there. Ridiculously tough schedule.
But if you're a big Dolphins guy out there, throw a few bucks on it. Who cares?
Talk about a step up in competition this week for the Dolphins, for sure, what they've been playing. All right, how about some power rankings in the National Football League? Let's do it. Plug it in. Again, the most static of all years with power rankings in the NFL. These have barely changed, and well, very minimal change this week as well. I still got the Chiefs, Bills, and Niners, 1, 2, 3 from last week. No reason to change. Chiefs didn't really play anybody in the Rams. Bills got by the Lions. Niners shut out the Saints, but not really terrible, you know, not really great competition. The Eagles beat the Packers, but gave up a ton of points. Cowboys won, but didn't get the cover on Thanksgiving. So Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Eagles, Cowboys remain my top five. Dolphins, I don't know if they should have gone up two, quite frankly, Kelly, because they haven't been playing anybody. But, you know, the Vikings remain static at 7 for me. The Bengals definitely go up after their win against the Titans. Yeah. That was a definite. And the Ravens definitely go down. So that 6-9 is my only shuffle, to be honest. And then I kept the Seahawks at 10 because I'm not putting in anybody else.
I mean, the 10 is
They should have won that game against the Raiders.
The 10 is just so tough.
It is.
It's so tough. I can't blame you for leaving the Seahawks in there, even though they lost.
They shouldn't have.
I mean, the problem is, who else are you going to put in there? So, if we go to mine, I'll start there. I had the Bucs in there last week. I replaced them with another team that lost with the Titans. I think you could go in a bunch of different places right now, but we always have big takeaways each week we do this. My big takeaway this week, Gil, is that there's 9 decent teams in the NFL, and there's a drop-off after that.
Sure.
I think we have the top 9 absolutely right. I kind of laughed when I saw yours come in, that we both had the same reaction in the Bengals and the Ravens. And I think you could maybe argue it's an overreaction on the Ravens for what happened in the final minutes of that game against Jacksonville. But I just don't think it is. Every week that goes by, I'm souring more and more on this Ravens team. Now, AFC North odds, if you look at that stuff, and we might hit on some of this tomorrow. Yes, the Bengals and Ravens are tied right now, but the schedules are so different for the rest of the season for these two teams. Bengals is pretty tough, and the Ravens is so easy. So.
Though it's narrowing as the weeks go on. Like I said that several weeks ago, where it's like, oh, big difference. Now it's not that quite as big of a difference.
I still think there's a good chance they escape with the division win.
Bengals did it without Mixon and Chase this week, too. I mean, that was big in there.
That was huge. So, yeah, I got Ravens 9. I dropped them down. Dolphins 8, it's funny you brought that up, because at first I jumped them up a bit more, and then I was like, well, I think the Bengals were more impressive, so I'm going to jump them ahead of the Dolphins. Vikings I left at 6. I did some slight switching around from that 3 to 5 range, where I kind of told you even last week, I felt like you could order the Eagles, Niners, Cowboys any order you want right now, and I think that would be fair. I'm going to slightly adjust my statement this week on that, where I think it's Eagles, 49ers at the top, Cowboys are the third, clearly to me, and then it's still Bills, Chiefs 2-1.
Just want to say this, our buddy Aaron Schatz over at Football Outsiders has the Minnesota Vikings at 22nd in DVOA. The first 9-2 team to ever be negative in DVOA in the history of Football Outsiders. Over 10 percentage points behind any other 9-2 team they've ever measured.
So all good, baby.
They see that a little differently. And so does the market, by the way. Only has the Vikings as 3-point favorites. Jonathan Von Tobel on the NBA next, and Cocaine Bear.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM has given soccer fans a chance to go for the gold. Just place a one-game parlay wager with 4 legs or more on any World Cup game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. With one-game parlay, you can make selections within a single World Cup game from tons of bet types, including team and player props. So just opt into the promotion, then place a one-game parlay wager of 4 legs or more on any World Cup game. You'll get up to $25 back if you miss one leg. That's how it works. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotion subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here on A Numbers Game. Kelly, JVT standing by to talk NBA. I hope he doesn't mind that for a couple minutes here. Because Kelly yesterday,
I don't think he will,
was singularly obsessed with one subject. And you think to yourself, well, I don't know, what was it, football? Was it the NBA? Was it the World Cup? No. He was obsessed with the upcoming motion picture, Cocaine Bear.
Just for me, just from a movie poster, Gil. I saw it on Twitter, was in between shows, was prepping for Big Bets. Just saw on Twitter, here's the poster for the upcoming film, Cocaine Bear, which the poster is magnificent in itself. I think it's got a tagline at the bottom, like, get in line now or something.
Here is from the Cocaine Bear Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
It is inspired by the true story of an American black bear that ingested a duffel bag full of cocaine in 1985. In a Kentucky forest, an American black bear goes on a murderous rampage after unintentionally ingesting cocaine.
So, yeah, it sounds like Sharknado, but with a bear who ate cocaine. Ray Liotta will be in it.
Ray Liotta, who is posthumously now, because he's no longer with us. This was his last motion picture.
Yes.
So, like, Ray Liotta's like, if you interviewed him posthumously, like, what are you most proud of, Goodfellas? Or he's like, Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear. Elizabeth Banks is directing and producing it.
Elizabeth Banks is producing it.
So there's like names tied to this, okay? Now, you got to read the Rolling Stone article, right, that I sent you last night. Yeah. That's the best one I've read so far. It's from the summer on this. Tells the backstory of the real true story behind this. Wild story about this drug smuggler who's skydiving with cocaine in a backpack or whatever. Parachute doesn't open or something goes wrong, lands on some dude's driveway.
In Knoxville.
Splatters dead in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And 3 months later, they find a dead bear in the woods with a bunch of empty cocaine bags.
That fell from the plane as well. Now, the true story is that the bear in real life didn't go on a murderous rampage.
Right, so they are fictionalizing that.
They are taking the poetic license to just have this bear go roughshod on everybody.
Yes.
By the way, last thing on this. This is from the true story now about the actual bear who ingested the cocaine. This is from the person who apparently did the autopsy on the bear. Quote, its stomach was literally packed to the brim with cocaine, the official who performed the bear's autopsy later said. There isn't a mammal on the planet that could survive that. Cerebral hemorrhaging, respiratory failure, hyperthermia, renal failure, heart failure, stroke, you name it, that bear had it.
That's incredible. I'm very much looking forward to this motion picture.
You know what? I don't understand.
I want to see the movie about the smuggler, though, too. That guy, that story.
That's an Oscar worthy.
Yeah, that's Oscar worthy.
You know what I'm most interested in? How'd they get this bear to act this good in this movie? Like, I mean, that is the part that I really want to know about.
The other is, this is like Kentucky legend now, right? This bear.
Oh, yeah, it's displayed everywhere.
The other one to read about is how many times this bear that immediately got stuffed, right? Someone was like, well, let's stuff it and we'll sell this because the story behind it's ridiculous. See the names and places that this bear has changed hands to. Like, owners have been here in Vegas.
Waylon Jennings owned
it. Yes, Waylon Jennings bought it at one point. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's our own cocaine bear. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
I got in trouble the other day because I made a cocaine reference on the air with Matt Brown. It was maybe a little too detailed, so I deny all allegations of cocaine.
Yeah, but that's you guys. So here's the thing. So, by the way, are you excited about this film or not really? Not at all?
No, of course. And actually, Kelly hit on some of the most exciting parts about it. There's legitimate talent behind this, both like behind the camera and in front of the camera.
It's a serious motion picture.
Right. Like, I think this actually has the chance to be like a really good movie.
It's a fascinating story. Okay. Last night I had the Hawks +3, snatching a push from the jaws of victory, and it took an Embiid missed free throw at the end to get me even the push. Is there an MVP bet for you at this point? Is there any awards bet that you're looking at right now?
So, there is. I just made it a few days ago. The number has gone. Steph Curry, like 3 days ago, was 10-1 to win MVP.
The guy has been absolutely insane. He's been unreal, averaging well over 30 points during this run, well over 55% shooting, 40% from the floor. If you look at it from a efficiency differential standpoint, the guy has been the most important player, arguably, in the league for the Golden State Warriors. And they're finally starting to get it together. They're 5-1 in their last six games, 4-2 against the spread. A lot of it has to do, actually, I'd say all of it has to do with Steph Curry. I think he's now like 6-1, Gil. I think there's very strong arguments to be made. He should be the favorite for this thing at this point right now. I think it's Steph Curry. And I would say if you could still find in the range of like 7-1 or better, it might be worth it. But I snatched up Curry at 10-1 a couple of days
ago. 9-1 right now at DraftKings.
There you go. Yeah, I think that's still a bet worth making at 9-1.
Man, could you imagine he win an MVP at this stage of his career? Just as great as ever, Steph Curry. Yep. Just absolutely unbelievable.
And it comes off that finals run, right? I mean, like, when you go back and watch what they did, that was Steph Curry, man. He has been incredible. You know, he continues to climb, like, the ladder when it comes to greatest players of all time in the NBA, not just of his generation. I absolutely love the guy, and he continues to kind of drag this team by its, like, the scruff of its neck to victory. He's been unreal to watch so far this year.
I say this every once in a while. You know where I stand on it. It's like he's the one athlete as an adult for me that still makes me feel like a little kid. Like, he's just everything about him. You love the way he changed the game, the fact that he's got a whole generation. Now, basketball purists might think this is a bad thing, where they're, you know, people are shooting from a mile away. It's just, even when he was at Davidson, right? And you were like, whoa, this dude is shooting from 30. Like, who is this kid? You know, like, but even then.
It's also so underrated about his game, Gil, if I could, really quickly.
Please.
Like, the other facets of it, his ball handling is among the best, if not the best, in the NBA.
Yes.
He had a moment, I think it was the Timberwolves game, where he contests a rebound. I think he had 11 rebounds in that game. He contests a rebound among Anthony Edwards and I think it was Kyle Anderson. He still comes down with it. And then a couple of plays later, Gil, he puts up a floater so high in the air that it's not even on its way down yet. And he's already turned the other way because he knows that thing's going down. And it does. He's incredible, man.
His handle is so underrated. There's that iconic highlight with him. I want to say it's against the Nuggets when the Nuggets were wearing the light blue, where there's like three guys around him and he somehow dribbles his way out of it. Anyway, I could go on. There's only three games tonight. What did you bet?
You know, I haven't bet anything yet. I've just been kind of monitoring the market. One of the things that I think is worth pointing out here, so the injury report is pretty lengthy for the Detroit Pistons. So I want to see if this gets a little bit better for them. It's up to 5 right now. But the Pistons are very quietly. They're 6-0-2 against the spread in their last 8 games. They have been, you know, covering or pushing numbers. Their offense has gotten a little bit better. And if they're going to get a full, like a somewhat fully healthy roster, like if we're going to get Jaden Ivey on the floor, Isaiah Stewart back onto the floor, Marvin Bagley, Bojan Bogdanovic, this might be a number that they can stay inside. And again, you see that up to 5.5. I think that's a little bit more against the, and I think, am I have this wrong? I'm looking at the screen right now. I've got Knicks Pistons today, not Thunder Pistons. With the Pistons catching about 5.5 at home. But regardless.
Yeah, Knicks Pistons.
Knicks Pistons, okay, you are correct. Yep.
Man, I thought I had it at like an aneurysm or something. So I was like, man, I better take down that report this morning. I wrote it the completely wrong
game. JVT thought he had a medical event.
Right. Yeah, also says that's from October 11th.
So okay, all right. Yeah, I was like, wow.
What is that?
But anyway, regardless, if they get a little bit healthier, and I also wanted to point out too very quickly, the Dallas Mavericks have been the most overrated team by a power rating standpoint in the NBA. Gil, they are 1-13-1 against the spread in their last 15 games.
Is that good?
And no, it's not, right? Yeah. And the market's starting to finally adjust here a little bit. But Golden State, as I mentioned, is rounding into form. They got another road win in a very big way against the Timberwolves the other day. I think it was Sunday where they blew them out. And this number's the exact same number they were laying against the Timberwolves. I think a lot of people would say Mavericks are better than the Timberwolves. I would say they're not. And so I think that if you still want to ride this Warriors train as they're finding their form tonight, laying a short number, I would not argue against it. But here's the angle that I would take. Without Doncic on the floor, their offensive rating goes from about 117 to 105. What you want to do from an in-game standpoint is play against Dallas when Doncic hits the bench. Generally, they're playing a little bit better. You'll probably get a better price in there. And that's the angle I've been taking with Luka and the Mavericks because they have been atrocious pre-flop, but they've been even worse. We can get some better numbers in-game.
All right, John, we appreciate you standing by while we talked about the movie. Thank you, sir.
Of course. Of course. Anytime. VSiN Watch Party, by the way. I'll buy the tickets.
There we go. VSiN Watch Party. He's buying the tickets. Hardwood Handicappers host. That's the podcast, which Kelly co-hosts, Hardwood Handicappers with Jonathan Von Tobel. Wherever podcasts are distributed, you can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT, our senior NBA analyst. There it is. There's the Cocaine Bear poster. Oh, that bear's angry.
He's angry. I'm going to do a quick pro tip
please.
Off the dome here, Gil. check out some dogs in that most wins market. I do think there's value there. Check it out. I think there's a few you could even make an argument for, as Gil and I did, but I think that Eagles is are overpriced number one there at the top.
I'd like for them to do that in the NBA, too, most wins. That could be an interesting market. What if James Lipton was still alive and he had the bear on Inside the Actor's Studio? How do you think that would go? What turns you off?
Poor bear. It's been stuffed and passed around so many times.
What turns you off? We've done all we can do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.